Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court Podcast host Cortez Paul.
Along with my co-host Paul Mack.
I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court Podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack is joining me as usual. Happy Monday to you, pal. How's everything, man?
Hey, bud. Happy Monday. Happy late St. Patty's Day. Hope everybody had a good, safe St. Patrick's Day. I know it can get pretty crazy out there, but, you know. We're good, man. Just a Monday. Work week starts tomorrow, so you know, we're ready to go.
Absolutely, man. I am super excited to be back. I done had quite the adventure. I just got back from Canada, and I can tell you, man, like traveling international is a chore. Getting through all the passport and the customs and everything like that. And it's just a different experience, man. Like, just give you something, Paul. Like, when you go use the bathroom or whatnot, or you just got to go pee, what do you call it?
Bathroom? Restroom?
They call it a washroom up there.
I mean, all right.
We got looks when I was like, hey, where's the restroom at? You mean washroom? Sorry, guys. I'm American. So...
Yeah, literally, so like wherever you pee at, I gotta dig a piss.
Yeah, so like the third day, I literally kind of converted, start calling, hey, where's your washroom? So you go to the bathrooms over there, and it shows washroom. They got their temperature in Celsius and their inches and feet and meters and their speed, like their thermometers and kilometers. So it was funny, man. Like, it's like, yo, they're not too far away, and there's just so many different changes over there.
It's like you're in a whole other it's like you're on a whole other side of the world. Yeah
And where we was staying at, Paul, a lot of diversity. Man, I thought Orlando had a lot of Asian culture. Where I was, man, a lot of Asians over there. A lot of good foods, good eats over there. Indians was out there.
You're eating some fucking wild food for breakfast. You're eating, like, it was like 12 o'clock, and you're eating some fucking barbecue.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was some barbecue. Like, and I was like, yo, this is like an Asian fusion barbecue. So all this was cool, man. Like, going over there, just kind of spearing their custom. And I asked them, because I had met some dude down here that was from Canada, and he swore by the death of him that, hey, man, the one place you got to go to is Swiss Chalet. You got to go to Swiss Chalet. So I'm thinking, like, okay, cool, man. I'm just noting this down and whatnot. So I had, like, a father and a daughter that I met before I went to the trip in Davenport. And I was like, hey, this is the list I got here. And I was told by this dude downtown that, you know, I can't miss out on a Swiss Chalet. They looked at me and laughed at me hysterically. Like, yo, what? What did it give you? Apparently, it's this place. It's kind of like Boston Market. They do a lot of rotisserie chicken. I knew that was gonna get a laugh of Paul. Rotisserie chicken and their gravy, and I guess pretty much the gravy is what makes the chicken taste better. But if the gravy's got to carry chicken, that's a problem.
And this man basically sent you to the Canadian like Ponderosa.
Yeah, and so I kid you not. So I'm watching a random show of like Trailer Park Boys, and I remember seeing like, oh, this is where I heard this from. It's from Trailer Park Boys was with Chalet, and so I'm like, yo, this Trailer Park Boys, this is the trashy short. The attention of the show is supposed to be trashy. If they're, it's like, yo, this is what they're talking about. Wow. So my goal was, Paul, I went around to each interaction that I had with a Canadian up there. I wanted to just get their opinion about it. Let me see on a broader scale was these two back in Davenport was correct. Every person I asked, Paul, about Swiss Chalet laughed and looked at me like I was from Mars.
I mean, you're better than me because Swiss Chalet sounds like it'd be like a strip club that serves chicken.
That's what I thought. Maybe Swiss Chalet. But they looked at me like, nah, don't go there. Don't go there. So that got me to thinking, you probably saw my post on Facebook. Like, if someone was coming out of town to America, what is the restaurant that we will not recommend to them? Like, and if someone say, oh, this was recommended to me, you think I should go? And we just laugh out when they say it. Me personally, I think it's Applebee's. I think it's Applebee's. It might be some other contenders in there, but I feel like if someone told me how to say that, yo, I was told to go to Applebee's for the drinks. You want a dollar Long Island iced tea?
Dollar margarita?
Yeah, but for the food? Absolutely not. And I made a joke. I was like, yeah, man, I said them dollar Long Island iced tea hits, but the rest of the meat is like the Orlando Magic 3-point shooting. I wouldn't go.
Yeah, but you need like $20 worth of them dollar Long Island iced teas. That shit's just straight sour mix.
And just straight sugar, bro. You're getting hyper off those drinks. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you think there what's the American restaurant in your opinion that we can't give someone to come out of town? Yo, someone tell you that, you straight up just laughing in the face. Like, man, don't go there. Right. What's the restaurant for you?
That's tough, man. I mean, we have so many. It's just like, it's just how America is, right? Like, it's just, I mean, Applebee's is a good one. I think the Cheesecake Factory is overrated, but that's fair. That's just me. I feel like you get blown away by like the menu and all the stuff that they have, but it's like, once you go there one time, it's like, you know, like whatever. But yeah, you know, but like Applebee's, Chili's, they're all the fucking same.
I ain't gonna lie though, those chili honey chipotle crisps be hitting, bro.
Chili's does got some better food. Chili's got better food.
Yeah, they got better food than Applebee's. But I literally thought in my mind, like, man, I don't really like going to Applebee's and maybe Denny's. I don't know. I mean, Denny's hit or miss sometimes, but I just think Applebee's. Then we made a song about it. You know, and it's a pop of country song, and that's more annoying.
If someone wants the American experience, we're going to recommend they go to the Waffle House anyway.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
If you want the American experience, you're going to go to a Waffle House. You want to see some hardworking Americans, you're going to go to Waffle House.
That is a place that Americans will tell you to go. Go to Waffle House and make sure you go at late night, because that's when all the action happens.
Mm-hmm. Place that only closes... That only closes during a hurricane if it's like a Category 5. So I guess it's the only place that's open if there's a hurricane.
Oh, man. I have some. We all have those horrible Waffle House stories, but I would not share. But Canada was great. I was at Arena Number 7 with Scotiabank. Watched the Magic victorious over the Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors was missing a couple pieces. So they're going through the injury buzz. Scotty Barnes has got a broken finger. And RJ Barrett, little brother, passed away. Condolences to his family. Yeah. Condolences to his family and going through that. That's definitely not a fun experience to go through.
Shout out to Montverde Academy right down the road.
Yep, exactly. So, but the fans was great, Paul. I can tell you, just having kind of conversations with them. Most of y'all know that when I go to Magic games, and the thing is about me, I get loud and animated, but I'm directing it towards the Orlando Magic. I'm not really directing it towards the fans that are surrounded by me. So when I go to these road games and like Paulo does a big dunk, oh yeah, I'm getting up and I'm getting loud. Like that's who I am, but I'm not looking around to see who's looking at me.
Yeah.
You know, I just do it because like, listen, I'm supporting to my team. So I remember I had like some interaction with some Raptor fan. It was like, all right, now Magic fan being loud. Like, man, I said, guys, I'm directing this to my team, man. I'm not even looking towards y'all, man. Come on, man. Like, just give me some slack, man. Hey, listen, man. I come in peace, man. I'm directing this towards my team. I'm not talking crap to y'all fans, man. It's 18,000 you, and it's me and Brad, who's all of 5'9". So, like, that's not much help. So, like, come on, man. It's me versus a whole freaking continent. I'm not stupid. So, this guy, here's the story. I get more into this story because I got on TV again. And yes, I saw your response. You was like, no way, no way. And literally, it was like buzzer beating because it was 15, 12 seconds left in the game. And everybody was like, we're waiting for you on TV. Waiting for you on TV. It ain't going to happen. And kid you not, in typical Cortez fashion, if you all know how I interact, who I am, I'm really this guy that's, you know, mild manner, very respectful. I'm not
going. You're happy to be here, pal.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, me and this guy having the whole heart conversation. He was out in a bachelor party. He was celebrating with his boys, and they wasn't even from Toronto. They was in Ontario, but they was like probably like an hour or two away. I don't know the exact time they was far away, and they were just celebrating their buddies. He's getting married, and what better way is like, hey man, let's go to a sports game, hang around Toronto, and get crazy. And so me and him just having like this friendly banter back and forth. So he comes up and talks to me like, hey man, like, yo man, good game. I'm like, hey man, congratulations, man. Like, you know, it's, you know, I'm from Orlando and I'm not from here, but I've been enjoying the city. It's been fantastic. I'm having a really good time here. And he's like, oh man, that's what's up, man. He's like, yeah, I'm here with a bachelor party. I'm getting together. Like, oh man, dude, congratulations, man. Like, I'm happy that you're getting to bring it in, man, and celebrate with your boys. Fortunately, y'all don't got to win, but you know, for me, I got to win. But hey, he's like, no, man, it's all good. It was. I said y'all got a lot of injuries. It was just a wholesome conversation, and so for Valley Sports Florida to catch that was cool, man. Because it literally was like that's how we was talking. Man. We shook hands, like, yo, good game, man. And I got them on Instagram, so I'm pretty sure I share this and they'll see it. And it was just shout out to them, man. Like it was a whole Adam was his name. Adam Rosner was his name, and shout out to him, man. They caught a really good moment. I know there's been, if any of you guys that follow the Magic and Raptors on Twitter, there's always a lot of animosity and Scotty Barnes is better, Franz Wagner's better. A lot of arguments going on between that. So to kind of see that between a Magic fan and a Raptors fan is kind of like, dude, at the end of the day, it's just basketball. It's vibes, bro. It's what we're here for. And it was a wholesome conversation, man. So of course, that happens, and I kid you not, the first text I got from my boy was CJ. Man, don't shake that man's hand. I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, what are you talking about? He was like, you made it on TV again. And then, ding, 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 ding. Phone going crazy, text message going crazy, Facebook's going crazy, and there you go.
Cortez, you single-handedly, all these people just watching Magic games, man. Look at you, you're single-handedly just keeping the magic fever alive.
I've been called the ambassador. I've been called Drake. I wish I had Drake money. I'm not Drake. I'm just a guy just sort of supporting my team, and everybody think all this money. No, guys, I literally check Google Flights. I fly coach. When I fly on the way back from Philadelphia to Orlando, I had a layover, and I was one row from the back. So.
My man.
Yeah, I'm in the melting pot of America, middle class, and glad to be in middle class at least for the time being. So, Toronto was an experience, man. Literally, when I left, it started snowing. When I flew into Florida, it was 74 degrees. I literally had to take my jacket off walking to the hotel. the transit system, I'm always blown away by when I go to the East Coast, Northeast Coast, just subways, trains. I mean, obviously Florida can get subways because we're below near sea level, so that's not happening. But trains, we can definitely improve the train system down here. One tap all, you get on the train, you catch a bus, you catch a streetcar, you can do that all in one fare. And it was cool, man. I definitely enjoyed Toronto, and even more better that we came back with a win, came back down here and watched my Amway, or Kia Center now, and we got the win there and celebrated St. Patrick's Day, and then I lost my wallet. So it was quite a Sunday going to Monday, man.
So you got two magic wins, though.
I saw two magic wins.
Some stats, man. Orlando, the Magic are America's team. They have they're 43-20. They're 43-23 or something like that versus the spread this year, best in the NBA. So if you're a gambling man, Magic are pretty good against the spread.
It's been free money for me all year, and we tried telling people, "Yo, the Magic had like colossal injury last year. They were not going to be this bad unless they was hurt again." They got 40 wins with 14 games left in the season. And to add to this, Paul, one of eight games, our next eight games are at home. Mm. They got an eight-game homestand, bro.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be a busy guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to tomorrow's game. And then they got a back-to-back on Wednesday, which I'm not going because I started my new schedule. But I'll be taking the weekend off to go to some of these games for sure. But, yeah, no, they got an in-game homestand, and their schedule is easier. I will say that. They got an easy part of the schedule. But goodness gracious, we talked about this, Paul. Their schedule in January and February is absolutely brutal. And with everybody played the same teams, now everybody complaining that Orlando's got an easier schedule. Hey, listen, they handle business and still 500, and Weather Storm got the injuries. And
Magic are weird, bro. Like, people just keep making excuses for why they're playing so well. Like, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I've never seen, like, no one could just say they're doing a good job. Like, no one gives them credit at all. It's always some dumb shit. It's just like, I don't understand it. Like, I've never seen it before. Like, you know, the Knicks, the Bucks, whatever it is. It's just like those teams are XYZ, or they'll make excuses to why they're not winning. But the Magic start winning games, and all of a sudden it's, oh, well, their schedule is easy, or they're whatever. Or they had a bunch of home games in the beginning. But, yeah, they had, like, no home games for, like, a month.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No one gives them credit, bro.
No one.
Yeah. And I think what they're waiting for, Paul, is that I told you so moment. But honestly, if Orlando get put in the first round, like, dude, that's just a success for me. I thought we was going to be a play-in team. So for us to be even in a top five seed in the East, it's just mind-blowing to me. We had discussions before. It sounded like, yeah, they could at least be a play-in. And they have the faith that they can be better. But this is just surreal. So whatever is happening right now, just – I see on the cake, man. So
That's all everybody's waiting for. Everybody's waiting for you guys to lose in the playoffs, and they could just tell you that, hey, we told you you weren't going to win the champion. No one said we were going to win the championship. Hey, man, we're just happy to be here.
Nah, exactly, man. So let's get into some basketball talk, man. So we look at the Celtics, who are just dominating people there. They're
50. Well, real quick though, on the Magic though, how do you feel about the head coach getting a nice little extension?
Well-deserved. I would say well-deserved. And you've seen the win increase every year that he's coached the guys. We got Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner. But his defense philosophies, for them to be a top five defensive rating team, that's Jamal leading that brigade there. Yeah, we got Jalen Suggs and we got Jonathan Isaac, but Jonathan Isaac has been low managing some of these games, and Jalen Suggs missed a few of these games. So, you know, you got guys that's not defensive, like, sufficient, like Cole Anthony, who is still not the best defensive player. Mo Wagner is not the best defensive player. Joe Ingles is, you know, Grandpa Joe. I'm older than him, and I'll call him Grandpa Joe. But, you know, it's these type of players that are really committing to that side of the ball. And so Jamal Mosley deserves a part of that. I might be skeptical sometimes the way he uses timeouts, skeptical sometimes how he uses rotations. But the man's not perfect. He's doing this on the fly, you know, with the talent that he has around him and the bench that he has around him. We just need to get an offensive-minded coach in there with that. You know, we need to get some more shooting and not really sacrifice the defense side of the ball. But Orlando's winning games with the points in the paint battle and their bench scoring. And they really kind of supplement Paolo and Franz with that. So a lot of players.
Wendell Carter's been huge since he got back.
Yeah. So Wendell Carter's another one. Like, these guys are buying in. When these guys went down, Goga and Anthony Black stepped up. Anthony Black's a rookie. Had a phony moment, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
That would be a thumbnail on this podcast. So they deleted that post, by the way. But shout out to them guys, man. Shout out to Mo's. I'm intrigued to see where it goes. A lot of people, you know, 3-4 years ago, when you talk about the Magic was so separated, talking about this team. It was, you know, this direction right here. Let's try to take this direction right here. Let's see, can we give Vooch some shooting and build around him still? There were just so many different directions. So a lot of fans and, you know, at least people that are involved with the Magic, just there's a lot of optimism around them. And, you know, it's been one of those feelings like that I have a long time. Being optimistic about a Magic core. So, as you know, it is hard to sustain winning, to be a contender. A lot of pieces come and go. You got to start paying some of these players. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm just enjoying the ride and see where it goes, man. And I know
it is nice, though. It is nice, though, for your young guys to know that the head coach will be in place for a little while. That is good for the Paolos and the Franz Wagners of the world, knowing that they have a guy who's gonna be there through their, you know, their rookie deals and until it's time to maybe do some contract negotiating. But it's good to have all that stuff kind of locked up. You don't have to worry about, you know, you feel bad for some of these players who have, you know, 3-4 different head coaches over, you know, 5-6 years. And it's just nice when you can lock one in. So good job for Jamal Mosley there. Because that's a big deal for Orlando.
Nah, man, and it is. And as you mentioned, someone like Cole Anthony, who came in his rookie year during COVID, you know, Steve Clifford was up and out, and you know, he dealt with Jamal Mosley, and even before that, like, it's just there's a lot of changes, man. That you just it's rough, man. But for them to kind of stay the course and buy into what Jamal and is saying, he does it in a way that. He's comforting, but he still can hold him accountable. So it's one of those that you kind of appreciate from a fan level. So now congrats to Jamal Mosley. Well-deserved extension. And actually he worked his tail off to get that extension. So I'm super excited for him as well to get that extension. So, but yeah, man, we're looking at the East right now. You're looking at the Celtics, the Bucks, the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic, and the Pacers right out the top six. The Heat and the 76ers. The 76ers fall off, man. Joel Embiid is supposed to be coming. I guess there's rumors that he's coming back here soon, but do you think it's too little too late? Because they're 37-30. They have to match up with the Celtics if they don't get bounced out in the play-in. And well, what's your take on the 76ers, man? Like, it's Joel's Embiid health is just tied so much to their success and going forward. So what's your thoughts about?
It really boils into that conversation. Like, I know that, like, you know, there's the whole, you know, game restriction as far as people that can be nominated for awards and all that kind of stuff, but that just shows you how important Joel Embiid is to the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, he is the cog that keeps that train moving. And I mean, Tyrese Maxey's done all he can do. That guy is playing out of his mind, but it's just what else do you got? You know what I mean? I mean, Tobias Harris is hit or miss. I know they went and got Buddy Hield at the trade deadline, but they just don't have size. They don't have size. Joel Embiid was just that stretch before he got hurt. That guy was just putting up wild numbers. And it's just hard to compete, man. It's hard when you're – when pretty much potentially – I mean, he might be the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Like, all around. And to lose him when they lost him – and, I mean, they had a tough schedule. You know, there were some games they won early in the year where other teams maybe weren't 100%. Now a lot of other teams are getting healthier. Some of those matchups are kind of different now, but it's tough when you see the fall of Philly. They were sitting at, you know, 2-3, and now they're down to 8. And I mean, they're winning tonight, which is nice, but you know, they're struggle busting pretty hard, and the teams at the top are just getting stronger. You know what I mean? I mean, Boston's doing Boston things. Milwaukee's 7-3 in their last 10. Cleveland got Donovan Mitchell back. They're doing all right. The Knicks and the Magic, they're doing their thing. They're taking care of business when they have to. And then the Pacers are finally healthy with Tyrese Halliburton and everything else. So it's hard when everyone in front of you is getting healthy, because the Knicks are winning and they're still pretty beat up. You know, they still don't got Julius Randle. You know, OG Anunoby's missed some time. He's not really 100%. So it's just, you know, all these teams up in front of you are just getting stronger and you're just trying to hang on. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for Philly. Even when Embiid comes back, because you got to figure it's probably going to take him a couple weeks to just get his conditioning back.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you want to get him back soon so you can get that out of the way before there's any potential, you know, play-in or whatever there is. But they are, you know, a game and a half or a game behind Indiana, who I think is losing mm-hmm. tonight right now. So, you know, Philly is winning right now, so they could probably get – they're playing Miami, so Philly could win tonight and potentially get into the six, or close to the six. So I mean, they're on the cusp. I mean, it's just going to be a matter of if games go their way, but you just hate to see somebody that important go down for this long. And I think it's smart for them though, because I mean, they could have tried to rush him back, or he could have tried to play just to, you know, get his awards and whatnot. But
yeah, it's not worth.
Shout out to them for just taking care of their guy. You know. So
yeah, and that's what's crazy, man. Is this team, when healthy, is definitely a top three team in the East. Like it could be debated that they are a top three team in the East. And with Joel Embiid, man, like I was so interested to see him and Buddy Hield work off each other. Joel Embiid is also an underrated defender. He doesn't get the credit as due as he is a defender. And so having Buddy Hield spread the floor for him. So now Joel Embiid, who is also a driving threat for his size, and you have to stay on Buddy Hield. You can't leave him. You got Tyrese Maxey, who's a threat. Tobias is a threat from time to time. And I know there's a lot of Sixers fans turning on him, and rightfully so with his contract that he's getting paid. So there's a lot of, well, hey, we pay you this much, and this guy went down, so we need you to step up. And Tobias Harris has always been a perfect third and fourth option. It's unfortunate to see that. But yeah, man, Joel Embiid, man, is one of those guys, man, is that their team success is tied to his health. And it's unfortunate he went down. I know he come back because there's been a lot of flat. And this is why I think he's smart on, like I said, Philly. Like, listen, man, tune that noise out, man. Get your health right and try to come back. But maybe this is good for Joel to kind of rest a little bit and get right. And then they really need to focus on getting some more. I know they got Paul Reed as a backup. Mo Bamba's there, but Mo Bamba is a journeyman nowadays. And so they just need to beef up there and really try to monitor his minutes and play. And there's need, and I'm sure they have done this. So this is just me saying like what they should do. They're obviously the professionals. This is just my 2 cents of my opinion that I think is just only worth 2 cents, that get some more bigger man depth and really play him in increments and stuff like that and focus on his diet. I know Joel Embiid can get heavier sometimes, but it was a shame to see, because, man, a healthy Philly team could have really gave it to Boston, could have really gave it to Cleveland, could have really gave it to Milwaukee. and Tyrese Maxey who feed off that space, and then you have Buddy Hield who spread the floor. It's just unfortunate that we see that injury just derailed him, and I know he's trying to come back for a postseason run, but man, I'm just so distraught about like seeing what that team could have been, and they had the right pieces around. They got rid of James Harden to kind of make room for Maxey to kind of grow, and then they add these pieces in, and boom, Joel Embiid goes down with an injury. So it's unfortunate, man. But yeah, this East race is really heating up. It's gonna be a fun. This is fun for me, Paul. Like I said last on the last episode, like I'm super engaged now because my team's a part of it. You know, we mentioned earlier, got 8-game home stretch, so now I'm invested. Like every game counts. Like be in it, lock in, because at any given moment in time, hey, the Miami Heat can probably heat up. Jimmy Butler can go get ready for playoff Jimmy. And then here they are. They're a sixth seed. And, oh, boy. So, but I don't know about the Heat, man. I just wonder, like, hey, are we going to get that playoff mode team that we know that we can – that we're accustomed to? Or are they really getting older? And is it something that – as Eric Spoelstra is a mastermind and what he does, he's miles ahead of some of these Eastern Conference coaches, and he can really develop a game plan against some of these teams. Is it his core and his team that's getting older and can't stay healthy, and the knickknacks and injuries and winning games, losing games they should be winning? So it's another team I'm kind of keeping tabs on too as well. So be interesting to see who the Heat match up with in the postseason. So in the West, hey man, tell me about Kyrie Irving's hook shot. Did you see that shot? Over yo, hey, Jokic, like he was struggling for his life. Well, I know he don't play no demon. Boy, that boy, like.
Listen, if someone's gonna beat me with a left-handed floater from 18 feet away or whatever the fuck, like, good GGs, bro. You know what I mean? It wasn't even like he worked for a good shot. Like he's a right-handed player going left, throwing it up with his left hand from damn near, you know, 18, 20 feet. Like what are you going to do, man? Shooters make shots, I guess.
Yeah, man. That shot was crazy. So that put Dallas in the play-in. They're in a dogfight with the Kings to get that sixth seed, so that's going to be a fun way to watch. Hey, man, let me get your 2 cents on this. Oklahoma City Thunder's number one seed. At the below this tier, this is potentially who they can play. And I want to ask you a question. Who do you think they should avoid? All right, and I want to see if we agree. So between 7 and 10, Dallas, Phoenix, Golden State, and the Los Angeles Lakers. Oklahoma City should avoid which team?
Man, if healthy, I don't know if they'd want any of those teams in a 7-game series. That's the part that scares me. Is like their consolation prize for becoming first, for being number one, is you're either going to play, you know, you can play the Lakers, the Suns, the Warriors. I mean, I think they could beat Phoenix.
Phoenix is the only team they can beat.
Yeah, I think they could beat Golden State. I just don't think Golden State has the firepower they used to. I just think that Golden State can. I mean, I know they got Steph, but like, you know, Draymond's not old Draymond. I know Kuminga's coming on a little bit, but they're not as deep as they used to be when they had those big runs the last few years. They don't have the bench that they used to have.
They're size problems too, Paul. They're real small too.
That's what I'm saying. Hopefully, so it's like, can eat that up. Like for the me, Lakers, Phoenix has Durant, and you know, at any moment, Durant and I think Nurkic, if he stays out of foul trouble, can give them fits. Bradley Beal's getting back into the rotation. Devin Booker's been hurt. So it's like when you look at it from the standpoint of personnel, Dallas got really good after the trade deadline. They made some really good trades.
Yeah.
Gafford's been huge for them.
PJ Washington too from the
But Gafford was about to be the next Will Chamberlain if he didn't finally miss a damn shot or some shit the other day. Like that guy made like 12 shots in a row. But yeah, no, I mean it's tough. But I would think Golden State would probably be, I would say Golden State or Phoenix would be who they'd want to play, and they probably wouldn't want Dallas or the Lakers. I feel like the Lakers can get the Lakers in the postseason with LeBron and healthy Anthony Davis. I think that can cause problems. The only thing is the Lakers are still trying to get a little healthy. I think when they get like Vanderbilt back, that'll help them defensively because outside of Anthony Davis, they don't have rim protection. And I think that hurts them a lot is when he comes out of the game, someone like Shea can get to the rim. You know, Jalen Williams is really good. So it's a really crazy thing to see because you look at the 7-8-9-10 in the West versus 7-8-9-10 in the East, and it's like any one of those playing teams could potentially make a run depending on how the standings kind of match up. But yeah, Oklahoma City's in for a dogfight probably with whoever they have to play coming out of that play-in.
I look at this, and if I'm the Lakers, I am savage to live to play OKC. They can't beat the Nuggets.
You can't beat the Nuggets,
just,
no.
Yeah, Nuggets just own them. Minnesota's Nuggets got enough size. Daddy. Yeah, Nuggets got enough size. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is supposed to be back for the postseason. I know he had a meniscus injury with his knee, but they're saying that enough time that he can be okay. But still then, if they don't have Karl-Anthony Towns, they still got Naz Reid, who is one of the best backup man that play in the NBA. Man, I cannot speak. I
mean, he started tonight for Rudy Gobert. He's having a hell of a night already.
Yeah. No, he is a monster. So and them come back with Rudy Gobert. Listen, man. Lakers don't want to deal with that. Lakers can definitely probably go ahead and go OKC. It'd be like Memphis Grizzlies and Lakers again. When the Grizzlies was number 2 seed and the Lakers was number 7 seed, and the Lakers upset them.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State upset also the Kings last year, and it's really this is why I try to take it all in stride as a Magic fan. The fact that where we're at, like, hey, listen, the playoffs is a whole different ball game. And you got to adjust the way that they play, how they call fouls, the intensity, the fans are different. Like, yo, it's crazy, man. Like, I've been to some home playoff games for the Magic, and it gets loud in there. It gets loud in there. So it's a whole different animal. So some of these teams, man, that's coming in here, and they're up and coming. They are up and coming. OKC's up and coming. Orlando's up and coming. Timber was an up and coming, buddy. I give it to Minnesota. Minnesota was the only team last year that gave the Nuggets like a series because of their size.
Yeah,
and so that's why I say, like, listen, yeah, during the regular season, Minnesota was kind of struggling last year and kind of made it to that play in and was a lower seed. But man, they gave the Nuggets hell, man. And it's because that size, when you able to rebound like the way that the Minnesota team was do and can be able to minimize possessions, you can control the glass, you can block shots, you can close the area where you need to shoot the ball. I'm telling you, it's setting up to be a doozy, man. And I'm super excited for it coming up, man. Paul, man, let's
who do you think? Who do you think in the West? So if you play in out of the way, because they still got to kind of fight. So 1 through 6, who do you think is the scariest team 1 through 6 as far as who has a playoff spot right now? Although it looks like, you know, the Kings could fall into the play-in and Phoenix or Dallas can jump them. But either way, right now, the way it stands, 1 through 6, as is right now, injuries, the way teams are built right now, who do you see making a big push? Who do you see making a big push by the time the season's over? Who do you think is going to make the biggest push to kind of jock for position in the Western Conference?
I've been big on this for the past 3 months. I know their injuries situation kind of spiked up a little bit, but I do know that Russell Westbrook's supposed to come back apparently soon. But I'm going with the Clippers, man. The Clippers literally started out slow when they moved Russell Westbrook to the bench. And for him to have the ball in his hand in that bench unit, and he's getting to dictate the offense and whatnot. You got Kawhi Leonard, who's one of the best closing defenders in the game. Paul George can get clutch at any time. And Paul George, and we got to carry them in the clutch moments. Kawhi can do that. Kawhi can do that. And then James Harden, for the most part, I know he's been a no-show sometimes. Once again, you got Kawhi Leonard. Just go quarters 1-3, get the ball to Kawhi in the fourth. Move out the way. And not only that, they have Zubac. They have, you know, Plumlee. They have these pieces that come off the bench. What's the guard? Norman Powell, who is considered to be a top sixth man candidate of the year. They have a squad, man. So not only do they have these stars, they have, you know, these corresponding pieces around them that they should make a run. Clippers should make a run. This is me. We're going to do a whole playoff preview when it comes up, but I'm staying on business, man. I think the Clippers coming out the West. I think they coming out the West. And it's going to be bananas, man. Like, they're – now, listen, Minnesota and Denver and Thunder is separating themselves. They're probably going to be the fourth seed. So they're going to play one of these teams on the road. It really depends who they get. Now, I kind of worry about them playing against the Timberwolves more than I would about the Nuggets and the Thunder, in my opinion. I think the Timberwolves really match up well with the Clippers. Just from an outside perspective looking in, this is me just kind of like looking at a few games that I did on Look on Lead Pass when, you know, Clippers are playing and Minnesota playing, but they got enough size to kind of bother them and control the boards against them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jokic, you can kind of put Zubac to have a field day on him. And Jokic, as talented he is offensively, he really doesn't play defense. but they do got some date. Like, listen, they're Nuggets got a chance to make a run again, but the West is so competitive that I'm telling you, probably a month from now, Paul, we're probably looking like, and this is gonna be some team. I don't know what team is gonna be. We're like, how in the hell did they get here? They're in the second round. How did this team get here? And maybe it's the Suns, maybe it's the Mavericks, maybe it's the Lakers. We're going to say that about one of these teams. I don't know which one, but we're going to say about one of these teams in the West. But in my humble opinion, I think it's the Clippers. Who you got?
I mean, based off the way things are right now, I'm really impressed with the New Orleans Pelicans. I think they're playing really, really well right now. Zion looks good. Like, he looks really good. And considering they were a team that got absolutely demolished during the in-season tournament, you know, way long ago back in the day. They lost by like 40 points to the Lakers in the in-season tournament. You know, they had some injuries. Brandon Ingram was hurt for a while. CJ McCollum, obviously Zion, missed some time. But them right now, I mean, they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a two-game winning streak. They're sitting at the 5. And they're, you know, they're a game or so behind the Clippers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see them winning. You know, they could probably win another, you know, where are we at now? 67 games?
Yeah, so we got like 14, 12, between that 12 to 14 game range.
Right. I can see them winning another probably 6 to 8 games out of their next 12 to 14, which, depending on how Minnesota does with their injuries, they're losing right now to, I think, Utah. You know, it makes things interesting because they could potentially – you know, that 3, 4, and 5 can shift a little bit depending on if the Timberwolves can stay on track. I mean, they're 6-4 in their last 10. So depending on how their schedule looks, I mean, the Clippers can catch them probably. So it's interesting to see, but I think the Pelicans are playing really, really well right now. They kind of have the whole, like, let Zion play a little point forward and let him kind of dictate the offense. And, you know, they're getting rebounds and they're out there running. I think that kind of stuff can cause problems for some of those teams because they're not the biggest team. I know they got Valanciunas, but they're more of a tempo team. They're trying to push and play tempo, get you in the transition. And they got a lot of guys that, you know, long guys, guys that could finish. CJ McCollum could shoot it. You know, it's interesting for sure. But as the things stand right now, I wouldn't be surprised if the Pelicans can make a little move and finish in that, you know, maybe not get to three, but they could probably finish four if the Clippers, you know, can't get healthy and figure some stuff out. But I think the Pelicans can make a real run. And then I'm worried about Sacramento because there's a lot of teams on their back. a lot of good teams on their back.
Yeah. Sacramento is really finding out what it's like to be the hunted. And I think this is the same transition that the Magic going to deal with next year. Yeah, you're catching a team by surprise, and you're probably going to be a top five seed at least. But as you see, Sacramento is learning the hard way. Like, oh, we know about y'all now. Mm-mm. We're not playing with y'all no more. We're not playing with y'all no more. And I'm happy that Sacramento is still in this race where they're still being in that bubble to be a play-in playoff team. But it's one of those things that you have to learn whenever you're coming like this and teams are still trying to get enough data on you and enough film and your tendencies. yeah, no, the film session is not lying on you guys anymore. So, I agree with that. And the Pelicans, man, they've really been coming on strong lately. I like what they got down there. They got Brandon Ingram. They got Trey Murphy, who is a bucket. Herb Jones, which I don't know why they didn't extend him. They should have. He's one of the best defenders in the NBA from a perimeter standpoint. Pay that man because we know the Pelicans don't have too many defenders just like him on that team. Jordan Hawkins, a rookie that come on and really splashing threes left and right. So this go along with the core of Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, who's coming into his own and turning off that negativity and really is playing well, man. Like, I'm super excited to see where this team's going to go because this is what the Pelicans – listen, at one point before Zion went down last year, the Pelicans was the number one seed in the West.
Yeah.
Good, man. But they had injuries the year prior to, and then that's when they just start going downhill. But this team is interesting, man. They just got to stay healthy. And I'm super excited to see where they're going to go. And this is a good test for them if they eventually match up with the Clippers. And you're right, Paul. They can really push them because they're leaving the versatility. Brandon Ingram, that dude is the bootleg Slim Reaper. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant. So, you're not wrong, sir. The Pelicans are scary. The Pelicans are scary. And Valanciunas, who valued possession and able to get rebounds and get them as possessions and get them moving. So Willie Green has done a hell of a job with that group to put them at where they are amidst all the noise that was around Pelicans and Zion Williamson there to be competitive right now. So, 100% agree with you, Paul.
Yeah, Western Conference is going to be a slugfest for the next, 3 weeks, man.
Oh, absolutely, man. All right. Well, hey, let's transition into free agency. As you know, I'm gonna talk about my team first. I'm very hurt that Justin Simmons got cut, but it needed to be done. I know he's in his 30s. He deserves to be on a team that is having championship aspirations. Pat Mahomes' most thrown interceptions is against that guy. Justin Simmons is that dude. I hate to lose him, but I want him to succeed and go into the right situation to help a team that is literally looking for some backfield help in that safety position. Justin Simmons is fantastic. So I hope someone pick him up. I know he's a free agent still, but I hope someone pick him up and he really has a chance to compete for a title because my incompetent franchise didn't help him put him in the position to succeed. Yes, I call my Denver Broncos incompetent. I love my Broncos. I love them. I'm not leaving them. I'll be right there with them when they go 1-16 next year. That's my squad. And I'll complain about it very loudly. But guess what? I still wear my Broncos color proudly. Russell Wilson, congratulations. You got paid. You're going to the Steelers. see what you can do, man. I know a lot of Broncos fans are feeling some type of way because he's getting talked more about what he can do with the Steelers and whatnot. Hey, and then with the big trade that happened with Justin Fields, they already came out and say that Russell Wilson's going to be the starter. I think me and Paul are probably in the same wavelength on this. What I am assuming is that Russell Wilson is going to carry the torch, and then he's just a bridge gap for Justin Simmons or Justin Fields to figure it out and go that route and then see what happens. But no, it's a good deal for Russell to be like, hey, prove it and show it. You got a good coach in Mike Tomlin that is really a player's coach more so than Sean Payton and won't belittle you on the sidelines like Sean Payton did. I know these players get paid a lot of money. They got a lot, but at the end of the day, they got egos too, man. You can't do that, Sean Payton. And I'm hoping that he's put in the right situation. And if he succeeds, best luck of him. I'm not going to feel no type of way. The way that we handle the Russell, I know we pay him a lot of money, and that's on the Broncos. That's on us. That's on us. We handled that poorly. Gave a lot of assets. Paul and Kevin remind me of this in our little test chain that we got. I know. We gave a lot of assets for that, and we still question how George Patton still got a job. Very, very fair. Because I'm wearing the same thing. How does he still got a job? But, once again, the Walton Penner Group, Walton that owns Walmart, Rob Walton that owns Walmart, or is definitely invested, you know, part of the family. Walmart money runs deep.
Real deep.
I don't see much of it, but it runs deep. But no, I hey man, good best luck to Russell. And I know him being there to mentor Justin Fields will be good for Justin Fields. You got someone like that to mentor you and get you into your next step. Chicago's going to go that route where they're going to go ahead and say, hey, we're going to miss. But before you go into your situation about the Giants, but I want to ask you, like, did the Bears make the right call on this? Should they kept Justin Fields, or should they realize, hey, we're going to go with Caleb Williams? Like, because obviously this is the move that was made for him to go that route.
I mean, you could have kept him, but I think they did enough last season to kind of make Justin Fields feel like he wasn't necessarily wanted there, that he wasn't going to be the guy. Like, even if he stayed and they end up drafting another guy, you know, he's going to have that breathing down his neck his whole time, and it's going to affect the way he plays. Like, he needs to go somewhere where he has stability. He's like one of those guys we mentioned earlier in the show. Like, he's a young guy, had some different coaches already, been in different systems, and it's unfortunate that, you know, he's talented. At times last year, he looked fantastic. So you put him on a team with stability like the Steelers, you know, a team that's got a long tenured head coach, a team, a city that, you know, really appreciates, you know, playing hard and doing all the things that you have to do to keep their team, you know, successful. You know, whether if you're Brad or somebody else. I mean, like I said, being over 500 every year is more than most teams get, but that's an accolade that they like to keep track of. But, you know, Russell Wilson going into the situation, he knows he's not a long-term solution. I mean, he only has so many years left. And obviously after the Kenny Pickett experience, you know, the odds of finding one in the draft is tough. So anytime you can lock up quarterbacks for the next potentially, you know, 4 or 5 years, because who knows, you can get a situation where Justin Fields backs up Russ for a year, maybe two, and then he comes up looking like Jordan Love. You know, just learns how to play the game. Like, it the system does work if you do it the right way. You set yourself up for failure sometimes when you just throw the starter in there. Obviously, I mean, it worked out with C.J. Stroud, but that's a once-in-a-lifetime, you know, situation. So it was interesting to see that they traded, you know, they signed Russell, and then they traded for Justin Fields, kind of cementing the future of their quarterback position for the next, you know, handful of years, probably next maybe 3-4 years. And then the Bears just going to be the Bears, and they're going to go draft another quarterback and see if it makes a difference. But, you know, they had times last year where the Bears looked like they were pretty good, but they're just not there yet. So, you know, good for Justin Fields to get out of there and try to kind of revitalize his career. You know, you like to see it, but you know, it is. We'll see what happens. I mentioned it. I'm more interested in seeing what Russell Wilson can do in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I know Brunswick's going to feel a certain type of way.
Just because I would have hated to see Russell go out like that. If that season last year would have been like his last, and that's kind of how things went out, I would have. That's a tough L to take for Russ. I want to see Russ go on a team where he has an opportunity to make a difference at a position that they struggled at all year last year. They got some good weapons over there in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, man, with that. So talk to me about your Giants.
We don't got to talk about that, man. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens getting Derrick Henry. How about that? What does that do for Lamar? What does that do for Lamar Jackson? Huh? How about Lamar Jackson? How about giving the MVP of the league? I'll give him the MVP of the league, Derrick Henry. Huh? Isn't that great?
Hey, this was Paul right here. Just take that topic and just throw it away.
That's it.
Okay. We don't gotta
talk about losing your best player to your division rival. We don't gotta talk about that. That's fine.
Dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up old wounds, Paul. We'll move forward and talk about the big get, by the way, by Baltimore.
Huge.
Talking about the best running game already. And you add that guy, their run pass off is going to be ridiculous next year. How can you guard that? And they still have options at wide receiver. Mark Andrews come back fully healthy. And who knows if they're going to get in the draft.
Zay Flowers really came on last year. I mean, that's scary for sure. I mean, they lost some pieces defensively. They lost Patrick Queen
to the Steelers. Yes.
Yep. Steelers making moves, huh?
Which I know there were some certain Steelers fans that feel a type of way about them. Listen, at the end of the day, money's money, man. If you want to pay me more than my other team, and there happen to be a rival, yeah, okay. Hey, listen, I love the Magic, man. Miami Heat want to pay me money to be a fan. All right.
But no, in all seriousness, to what you asked me before, crazy that Aaron Donald retired, right? That's crazy.
Right. Crazy. I'll say this though, man. Like, I get it though. Aaron Donald wants to enjoy a healthy life balance after work, and
I mean, he's accomplished all there is to accomplish as a football player.
Yeah, and he's clearly still has plenty left in the tank. I respect it because it's fat too. Like, listen, not only does he like, hey, let's hang it up, move on, but you also open up a position for somebody else that can come in and play football.
Yeah, there's only so many spots.
Yeah, digress it. They might not be to your upper echelon of talent that you may be, but you also provide somebody else a source of income, and I respect that, man. Like, listen, football. I played in high school, and that's all I wanted to play in high school. And I wasn't even much of a. I was a bench guy, and even just practice was brutal. So, just for you to get beat up in and out, and just deal with that and. My coach asked me, was I still going to go play in college? I said, no, I'll do track and field. Because I come home, just even football, probably doing two-a-days. And I'm literally taking three-hour naps. My mom already done made food. And I'm eating food at like 7 o'clock. She already made it at like 4 o'clock. And I'm just passed out because I literally was wearing out from practice. We're doing up and down school. So these are the top-of-the-level guys that's doing this in and out. And also, I did it in just the heat. They're doing this in snow. They're doing this in rain. They're doing this in heat. Nah. So, no, hey, shout out to Aaron Donald. Wonderful career. Super Bowl champion. And for sure.
He was a four-time defensive player of the year.
Yep. For sure, first ballot Hall of Famer. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So,
yeah. You know, so with that said, with that said, I will address the elephant in the room that you were getting to earlier. So, yeah. What about Josh Jacobs going to the Green Bay Packers? Yeah, that crazy. Nah, fucking. I'm just kidding. Saquon Barkley going to the Philadelphia Eagles. That shit hurts. That hurts so bad. Of all the places he could have gone, he had to go to a team that I still got to play twice a year. I got to see him two times a year. And, like, you know, I am mad at Saquon. He didn't even get that. Based off of the running back market, what everybody else was getting, I mean, he didn't get a lot. I think it was like 35 mil for like 4 years, 3 years, 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but you give all your money to Daniel Jones to where you let a franchise guy, a generational talent just leave for nothing and go to your division rival. I would have much rather the Giants at some point just traded him last year and got something back for him. Like, I hate when guys leave for free and you got nothing to show for it. So, yeah, it sucks. Good for Philly. That's a huge gain for Philly. Massive. I know Swift. He did okay for them last year, but you add a Saquon to any offense. You add Saquon to an offense that already has an AJ Brown, that already has a Devontae Smith, that has a healthy Jalen Hurts. That's tough. So, I mean, kudos to Philly for going out and, you know, they let Swift leave. They didn't re-sign Swift. And even Swift, I mean, he got a pretty nice contract where he ended up winning like $20-something million.
Wow.
I mean, the running back market was crazy. So, I mean, it is what it is, but if for an extra $10 million I can get a Saquon Barkley over a DeAndre Swift, you know, it's not a bad gain. You just hate to see that stuff happen. But the running backs are finally getting paid a little bit this offseason, and a lot of them are moving different places. I mean, Tony Pollard left Dallas. He went to the Texans?
Tony Pollard, I believe he did go to the Texans. Let's check AFC South. Texans.
I think the Giants picked up Devin Singletary. So I know Devin Singletary is gone from Houston.
I can tell you right now, free agent. Where did he go? Tony Pollard went to the Titans.
Titans, that's what it is, the Titans. That's right, Titans.
Yeah, yeah. He went to the same division you were talking about, but he just went to the
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so he went to the Titans. So Titans lose Derrick Henry, get a Tony Pollard. Josh Jacobs goes to the Green Bay Packers. Packers then lose Aaron Jones, which the Packers, I think, also lost A.J. Dillon.
Man, that was their 1-2 combo. They lost both of them?
Yeah. Yep. I forget where Aaron Jones signed the other day with somebody. I forget where he ended up going. But he went to somewhere.
Jones, free agent. I got you. Aaron Jones. Vikings.
Went to Minnesota.
That's right. Yeah, he went to Vikings.
Okay, so the Minnesota Vikings. So the running backs are getting paid a little bit, and they're moving around. So it's interesting.
Get your money, man. Running backs, get your money.
Hey, get your money. Get paid, bro. Go to where they're going to pay you. A Josh Jacobs is huge for Jordan Love, but a Derrick Henry for Lamar Jackson is just wild to me how you can pull that off. That is beyond crazy. And then, I mean, kind of end on things a little bit. I mean, the Chiefs made a move. They got Hollywood Brown from Baltimore, so they're trying to solidify the wide receiver position a little bit. That was a big struggle for them last year. Still won the Super Bowl, so. What's really important in the world? How important are wide receivers? You know what I mean?
Did T. Higgins get signed yet?
I don't think so. I know Kyle Vander Esch retired today for the linebacker because he said his body ain't working no more.
T. Higgins. So
I believe not.
There's a lot of mocks saying that he's going to get traded in the NFL draft.
I will shout out to oppose my Saquon Barkley argument about taking care of your guys. huge shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. Locking up Mike Evans.
Fantastic.
Paying our boy Baker Mayfield.
Yep.
Way to show you that you're a team that's going to take care of your guys. Because that's what players are looking for. They want to know the team's going to take care of them. And they brought in Baker Mayfield on a whim. Guy had the season of his career. Got them into the postseason. And now he's got $100 million.
Hey, shout out to Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're literally setting us up for success with player-agent relations. Unlike my Broncos, I'm just gonna take a stab at them every time I can. Yeah,
so if you want a team that's gonna take care of you, let's say Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of those teams that take care of their guys. Because you know if they weren't gonna let Mike Evans leave for free,
and they're
fully aware that he has never complained about anything. He'd be happy retiring a Buccaneer.
Yep.
So just lock your man up.
Yeah, listen, we're from here. We're from Florida. When you think of the Bucs for now, I mean, yeah, Tom Brady won a title, help orchestrate him win a Super Bowl. But you think of Mike Evans. You just know the Bucs. Mm-hmm. They just got Mike Evans. That's how we just know, like, oh, Mike Evans played for them. That you just know. So kudos to them before we transition to bracketology here. What's your thoughts about Calvin Ridley going to the Titans? Oh, man, I should have seen if Kevin was working today. I didn't reach out to him.
Who?
Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yeah. So there's some conspiracy theories on the internet that that Calvin Ridley, he went to the team that had the lowest percentage chance of picking him up. So he might have placed a bet on what team would sign him. And then he went with the one that was like plus 140,000. So that's what the internet thinks. All the teams that were favored to sign Calvin Ridley did not sign Calvin Ridley, and he went with the long shot pick. So Calvin Ridley probably got paid twice. He double dipped on that transaction.
He hit on that parlay, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff.
And did you see that now the 2017 draft or whatever, like, that Trevor Lawrence is the only guy that was picked in the first round that's still on his team that drafted him. This is the 2018 draft. That's crazy. Everybody else got traded. Everybody else is gone.
Which is nuts. And then Mac Jones is now in Jacksonville as a backup.
Yeah. Yep.
Kevin and the Jaguar family's losing their minds, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just a backup, guys. And he's from Jacksonville. Come on.
The 2020 draft. So within four years, every single one of those guys is on a different team. Except for Trevor Lawrence.
Unbelievable. And a lot of there's been a lot of I know Jazz fans don't want to hear this, but there's been a lot of chatter around Trevor Lawrence. So I still think he's got a future in Jazz, but I think he's gonna do great. But there's been a lot of chatter and noise around Trevor Lawrence, and the pressure is now rising up a little bit. So We'll see what the Jazz do. We'll make sure we reach out to Kev, get him on the show. But I know a lot of Jazz fans out far that are Magic fans not particularly pleased with some of the moves that they have. They're still trying to find a kicker, which I thought Brandon McManus did a good job, but I guess he didn't sign back with him. So I don't know. Hey, man, one more segment before we get on out of here. And if you want to do a – I don't know if you have a –
I don't got a segment. We're out here just catching up today. We're
winging it, right? Okay, cool.
We're shooting the shit today.
Yep. Hey, listen, and we're doing a good job at it because we're at an hour, which is fantastic. Cause I was kind of worried, like, hey, Paul, I didn't have anything prepared. Monday was crazy. I just got back from Canada. Wallet lost. Magic playing games, and I had an interview. It's a lot going on, man. So that's my fault. But hey, guys, if we sound like we was prepared, good job. Cool. If not, hey, we'll do better next time. But number one seeds. And then we're just going to ask one question because, I have watched little to none college basketball. Can't speak for how Paul is, but the number one seeds in the NCAA men's tournament is UConn, Houston,
North Carolina and Purdue.
North Carolina and Purdue. Ooh, Zach Edey is the number one seed? The big guy from Purdue is the number one seed?
Purdue-ski, baby.
Oh, let's go. So my question to you, Paul, and this would be our last question. And what we got to? What is your strategy trying to build a bracket here? Nobody can build a perfect bracket. So what's your take here? What is some of your strategy? Because I know me, you're gonna play some parlays involved in this NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really gonna boil down to matchups. So who matches up with who? Obviously, you know, who's better at home, who's better on the road. And then there's always those just teams that you never know are gonna come out of nowhere that you have to look out for. I think you have to try to do your research ahead of time and figure out who kind of has the spoiler potential. You know what I mean? Who's gonna be the FIU this year? Who's gonna be the what was that one college with the freaking crazy old lady? I can't remember who that was.
La Loya Chicago.
Yeah, La Loya Chicago. Yeah. Sister Jean. Shout out Sister Jean. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. Shout her out. But you know, you guys gotta look for those kind of things. I haven't made a bracket in so long just because there's so many other ways to do more lucrative things with my time. I'd much rather just bet on the games individually. But as far as the number ones, I would take UConn probably as getting the furthest of the ones. Okay. They're just a really good team coming out of a really tough conference. And I think you got to worry about a Duke who they're four. They got a pretty, pretty tough draw there.
A lot of people talking about Florida right now, that being a dark horse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They come on strong. They beat. Did they win the SEC? Watch, I had Kevin on.
I think Tennessee won it,
but they beat Alabama. Yeah, Gators beat Alabama, and they lost. I believe they lost to Tennessee. But
no, Tennessee's really good. Kentucky's really good.
Yeah, and so buddy.
SEC is represented in this bracket, boy. I tell you what though.
My opinion, I think the number one I go to Fuller's is Houston. Kevin Sampson got this team, and they're always been good. Defensive team, Houston is going to be, I think he's going to be in the Final Four. If I had to choose a chance out of this, I know their bracket. I look at Duke. I see Duke is in their bracket. I see Florida's in their bracket. Kentucky's in their bracket.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, but Houston stuff.
That's just a tough bracket. Like I look at UConn's bracket, and I mean BYU, Illinois, maybe Iowa State gets there, but like I think UConn just has the
San Diego State put a scare in them.
Yeah,
San Diego State put a scare in them. But here's the thing, Paul. When you build your bracket, there's always a 5-12 upset. There's always a 5-12 upset. So one of these is going to be like, you look at this, you got San Diego UAB, San Diego's fifth. Wisconsin James Madison, Wisconsin's fifth. You go down to this 5-12, St. Mary's and Grand Canyon. St. Mary's has been good over the last few years. I don't know much about Grand Canyon, but can they come and surprise them? Gonzaga and McNeese.
McNeese don't stand a chance.
5-12 seat.
Gonzaga's good, man. Gonzaga's a good team.
Okay.
If I had to look at just the first round, for the sake of time, look at the first round of matchups. Who would you put on upset alert? Of all the first round matchups, who would your upset alert?
Upset alert. I'm pulling my bracket right now. Honestly, probably Wisconsin, James Madison. I just, my opinion, I'm just going to go with that pick there because the 5-12, it seemed like to be one of those that does it. So I'm going that route. I think Wisconsin could get upset. But this is also like picking a needle in a haystack. So I have to admit, I'm kind of frivolous when it comes to watching college basketball. And honestly, this year I really didn't have to watch it because my pro basketball team is good. And usually I can give you a better answer because I had to watch it for like prospects. Like, oh, who the Magic going to draft? I got to watch Paolo Banchero. I got to watch Jabari Smith. I got to watch Chet Holmgren. So I kind of had a key in on these teams. But Texas Tech and NC State is probably an interesting one.
That's mine. I'm going to go with NC State. I'm going to go with NC State over Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's also a good one, too. So
4.5 spread, not a huge spread. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take NC State.
All right.
NC State won. I think they won their conference tournament. They literally coming off wins against Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina going into the tournament.
Hey, you might be on the money, Paul.
I'm gonna say NC State.
All right. Good stuff, Paul. You got anything else, man? I think we're covered.
We got a week. What's today? The 18th. So we got this weekend. Tournament kicks off. So we'll have some tournament talk. But
some tournament talk.
We'll look at our bracket breakers.
Yeah, I get Kevin on the podcast. Kevin is really been diving deep in the NCAA. I'll see if I reach out to another guy that's been giving out some NCAA so they can kind of help cover this a little bit more. So hence why this segment's a little bit shorter. But usually I have to watch college basketball, as I admit, but
I'm sure next week we'll have a whole episode dedicated to this. So once the tournament kind of gets rolling, you know.
Well, yeah, we'll dive deeper into it for sure. All right. Well, guys, make sure you stay tuned with me and Paul. I promise you I'm here next week. God willing. I'm not going on vacation. I should have reached out to Paul to see if you want to do an episode. But, man, I got to Canada and was just, as they even call me, international Tez, man. So I was just enjoying the vibes over there and enjoying the heat and then watching the snow as soon as I've flown out of Toronto Pearson Airport. So shout out to Toronto. I love your freaking transit system. The Presto, you pay the one fare as you go. All around is $3.30 in Canadian dollars. You can literally catch the bus, the transit, and the subway for $3.30, son. Like, I appreciate that. Florida, step up your game with the train, son. The Sun Rail shouldn't be open till 10:30 because of a Magic game. Rant over. Anywho, just want to give shout out to that transition. Make sure you follow the podcast. We're at BIOC Podcast on Twitter and X, whatever you call it nowadays. You can find me at @CP, Mr. Mac.
Yes, sir. I'm on X at @the_Paul_Mac and @ThePaulMac520 on Instagram. And man, shout out to just everybody out there doing their thing. Let's get ready for some college basketball, and let's have a doozy of a time with the last few weeks of the NBA season here, because playoffs are right around the corner there too.
Absolutely. So you follow the podcast page at BLC Podcast on YouTube. You can go to Balls Not Court Podcast on Facebook. Type us there. Give us a like, comment, shout. You can go to Instagram at the same thing, BIOC Podcast. TikTok, if it's not banned by then, BIOC Podcast. You can go to on Spotify. You can go to anchor.fm, Cortez-Paul. We're also on YouTube, same thing, BIOC Podcast. Elsewhere, you can get us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you find us before. We're everywhere. Make sure you go to buymeacoffee.com/BLC podcast and throw some change our way to get the podcast. I am working on getting some hats. I got a nice lip bonus from Walmart, and I'm willing to get some hats created. Me, Mr. Matt, Mr. Casey, and other guys have been guests of the shows. I'm working on getting some polos. So
maybe we have a little bracket content. Maybe we could give away some gear to the best bracket. So all our listeners out there, all our Facebook followers, everything else. Make a bracket, submit that bracket.
Yeah, We'll figure that out. Maybe I'll put some logistics in that. And
maybe we'll get you a gift card to Applebee's.
America's finest restaurant, baby. So,
yes, sir.
And as in Canada, or Canada, go to Swiss Chalet. They got the best rotisserie chicken and gravy around. Poutine. Look,
see, poutine sounds better. Like poutine, I fuck with poutine. You just call it fucking chicken and gravy. I don't want that.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. The gravy got carried chicken. You're doing something wrong. So, nonetheless, guys, thanks for listening. This is Speaking for Paul Mack, Cortez Paul, Balls Not Court Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your Monday going into Tuesday, and have a good night.
Peace.